It's Golden Hour Adventure Time, featuring everyday people doing extraordinary things. From the peaks of victory to the valleys of defeat, these are their stories. Now, from the back of the pack, your hosts, Justin and Robbie.
Welcome to Golden Hour Adventures. Today we have another Brooks Running Collective. Is there a zero? Oh, no. That's just BRCO. Yeah, a Burco member. Jackie Wilson, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Hey, your name is J-A-C-I. How often do you hear J-C?
About 50% of the time.
Robbie, I was waiting on her to go, actually, my name is J-C. I was like, oh, yeah. No, because I remember she corrected me last year when we were at Hype Fest. And so that stuck with me. I was like, nope, her name is 100% Jackie. So
yeah, that's awesome. I used to not correct anyone, but now I do. But growing up, I would spell my name different so that people understood how it was said. But now I'm just like, I don't know. I just tell people.
Hey, you just, I stopped correcting people on my last name because everybody says Andreas and it's definitely not Andreas, it's Andries. But I just stopped correcting people. I'm like, yep, all right, I'll answer to that.
Yeah.
And I hear the weirdest things too. It's weird. But Robbie, I feel like no one really messes yours. Robbie Pike, like that's
no.
I feel like that's a pretty easy one. PK, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. It's pretty, yeah. They always say, enough about names. They always say, oh, the fish. I'm like, yep, the fish.
Yeah. Hey, funny story. We were talking, Robbie and I, before Jackie got on and before we started the podcast, that we were talking about this ultra that is a 100-hour ultra. And Robbie was like, oh, man, that sounds really cool. How many hours is that? And I felt really good about myself because I was quick with it. I said, I think it's 100. So it was perfect. Yeah,
I was getting the 100 miles and the 100 hours.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally get that. Wonder how many hours that is. Probably 100.
After we say it. Yeah, right after we say 100 hours.
I know. After I said it, he was like, damn it. Oh, gosh. Well, anyway, Jackie, how you been?
I've been doing good. I don't know. It feels like a grind right now, but it's been going good.
Yeah, you're in deep into tax season right now. Well, mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you have like 1 day, 2 days left, a day and a half left of
Days left
as we're recording April 13th. So
yeah, I'm ready for it to be done. And I say every year that I'm done helping my husband's firm, but I always get roped back into it year after year. So usually there's nothing to do in the winter besides like running and coaching and playing with the dogs or whatever. So it's fine. But this year was not a typical winter. It's been very mild. So it's been harder to be inside.
Now, I know you're a northern state. Where exactly are you at?
I'm like northwestern Minnesota, about an hour from Fargo.
Oh, so you're way up there.
Mm-hmm. Well, not
I should say
far
down there.
Over there.
You're further north than Robbie, but you know. But you enjoy cold weather running?
I absolutely love it. I am sad that winter is gone and that it's warm out. I just don't do well with the heat and humidity. And I just feel like I can breathe better when it's colder out, even when I'm not running. So
Now you're kind of I hate to use the term hybrid, but there's the, you know, that hybrid athlete type thing that floats around. I see you, you know, a lot on Instagram, very much so promoting strength training, working out. You're big into that. I see you trail running. I see you road running. Like, where do you think you fit in all those niches or just all of them?
I think I'm just a little bit of everything. I don't want to ever define myself by doing just one thing. And I think there's a lot that can come from the flexibility and the variety of doing various things. And I think different aspects can help you with other areas. So I think it's really valuable to not be so centered on one thing.
Yeah. Well, I would say I wouldn't just say I despise road running, but I prefer not to do it. My soul belongs.
I despise,
yeah.
I Robbie will say it.
Yeah. I signed up for a marathon today, so I can't really say I despise road running, even though I think the majority of it is on a trail. And so, but yeah, it's still, I signed up for a marathon. I know.
I'm running two marathons. Why didn't you sign up for a marathon?
Okay. I'll tell you the story. So in Alaska, there is a, there's a marathon down in Anchorage, which is about 6-7 hours away. And then that same day is the Midnight Sun Run, which is a 10K in Fairbanks. It starts at 10 p.m. It's the day after summer solstice this year. So both of them are on a Saturday, and that doesn't happen very often. So we are going to drive down to Anchorage, 6-7 hours, run the marathon, get back in the car, drive back to Fairbanks, and make it in time to start the 10K on the same day. So 32-mile day, but it's going to be the Alaska double, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I love it.
It's something
that
just people are making up. So I'm like, dude, sign me up. I'm in. So
yeah.
Yeah. So I am running a marathon, but again, that later that night, I'm running a 10K. And so,
and then you the got other the marathon extra I'm running fatigue is setting in with that car ride too.
Oh yeah. It'd be, yeah. It'd be, what else is new? It'd be like an everyday ultra. So it'd be a different style ultra. Like, hey, we're going to run half, like 3/4 of this. And then you're going to get in a car for 7 hours. And then, you know, then you're going to do it again. So yeah, it'd be fun. But anyway, yeah, signed up for a marathon. So I can't talk too much trash about roadrunners this year. So
yeah.
I feel like I'm one of you guys now. So, but, what big races have you done?
Gosh, I feel like I've been kind of stuck with the Fargo Marathon, because we don't have a lot of races in the winter. So it's basically May through October-ish. But again, I don't like the heat and humidity, so I am not going to run a race when it's 95 degrees out in the middle of summer. So the Fargo Marathon is earlier on. So I've ran that a few times, Twin Cities Marathon. I think that's about it.
Okay.
I keep it pretty, I haven't been running for, I guess, that long. So I'm still kind of branching out and exploring with figuring out what and where I want to run. So that's been fun, trying to figure out, okay, like what can I run in the fall or in the spring that's more scenic? I ran Grandma's last year and I absolutely love that because it's not,
I've heard really good things about that race.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely gorgeous. I love running by the lake. That's where I run in the summer. And I like running in the country. I just like scenic stuff, being outside versus I'm not really a city person. So running through the city isn't really my cup of tea. I like to look around at my surroundings. So just trying to figure out, okay, where's a marathon that's scenic that I can run? So I have a couple ideas that I want to do in the next couple years.
Robbie, I feel like she's just right on the edge of being an ultra runner. I feel like trail and ultra runner is just like, she's there. We just need to push her over the edge just a little bit.
And that's the thing. Like, I have in our running group quite a few people who have run 100 milers. A lot of ultra runners, and they keep nudging me to the ultra side, which I would absolutely love. I've had this goal of a sub-3 marathon.
But then you get one of these.
I know. So I think this year might be kind of the turning point of going to the ultra side.
Nice. I definitely support that. Plus, there's winter ultras, and I know there's winter ultras up there.
Yeah, there's a lot in Duluth, I know.
Yeah, so then you got your ultra marathons and winter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of the best of both worlds there for you, I guess.
It is, yeah. Then I wouldn't have to do tax season, I guess, if I was doing
You'd be like, I'm running ultras. I don't have time for this.
I got to train.
That sounds like a great excuse to me.
Yeah.
Well, walk us through your running journey. You said you hadn't been doing it very long. Walk us through it. Like, I want to know. I'm sure the audience does as well.
Yeah. So I find it funny. I feel like there's two types of runners: those who hated it growing up, and those that loved it. And then all of a sudden, as adults, we found running and we absolutely love it. And I was definitely one of those that hated running in high school. I played soccer and we watched the cross country runners run around the field and we'd make fun of them because we're like, you guys are choosing to run. We're running at least after a ball. They're not running after anything. So
y'all probably ran more than what they ran.
Exactly.
I read something that was like 6 to 8 miles in a game or something like that is what you would run. That's insane. Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy. But at least, I don't know. At the time, I thought running was boring, so at least my mind is occupied with the game of soccer. But my original degree is in accounting. I have my master's in accounting, and I loved my job, but it was super stressful. So running became my outlet of stress release. The time when I didn't have to think at all, and it just gave my mind a break. So that's really when it started in 2017, 2018. And then unfortunately I had seen significant progress with my running. But then I went through corporate burnout with my job because I was working so much. So then I had to take a break from running. And then since then I've come back again, from that about a year and a half break. So it's been kind of neat to see how my running has changed from the first chapter, I would say, of my journey to now, and the things that I needed to do in order to enjoy it again.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I didn't do it this past year, but the last 2 years, I took a month completely off of running. And it just, you know, okay, we'll go do hikes. Like if I felt like going doing running, I would go do it. But like I have a coach, you know, I coach myself, but I have a coach just because, you know, it gives me accountability and that type of stuff. And I'm sure as a coach, you understand that as well, but I would just have nothing scheduled on the books. And so, so I not taking a year and a half off, but I do understand having to, you know, take a break from it and kind of fall back in love with it. I understand that as well.
Yeah. You got to kind of find that spark again and just kind of reevaluate some things of what's working, what's not working, what you like, what you don't like, and what's kind of missing from the bigger picture.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get that. Was it kind of like muscle memory? You know, when you like, you work out a lot and you kind of stop and then you go back to like lifting weights, you find your rhythm back and you know, you start hitting those weights really quickly back to where you kind of were. Is it kind of the same way with running? Was it kind of the same way? Did you notice?
Yeah, very similar, with the exception of a couple like physical symptoms that I had from burnout. So I had what was called a calcium shell. So instead of calcium going into your bones and your teeth, it was actually going into my tissue, which caused a lot of ankle pain. So I lost a lot of ankle mobility, which is one thing that I'm working on now. So that's one thing that's kind of different from my running than previously, but otherwise it is like your body remembers those paces, your body remembers how it was running before, and I think that's neat to see.
Yeah, that's cool. Trail running, that's excellent mobility.
See, that's
it kind
the
of
one
forces
thing that,
you to be mobility.
Exactly, that's the one thing that kind of is a bummer to me. We don't have many trails around here. Duluth is 4-5 hours away. But we're kind of like on the edge of the plains and the hills. So we don't have, I don't know. I wish that we did have more trails, but we don't.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah, I see you running on some like Jeep roads and stuff like that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, what do you have coming up in your running?
That's a good question. I've been marathon training, but I haven't signed up for a race. Okay. I've been trying to kind of figure out again a marathon that I would enjoy to do, versus trying to force one that I wouldn't like. The Fargo Marathon is in June this year, so that was like an automatic out for me. I'm not going to run when it's hot and humid. Yeah. So I'm not quite sure if I can figure out one in May. I'll be ready for it. I'm kind of like at that peak of training right now, but if I can't figure something out that's fine. I still have the fitness. I think it's more about the journey and the process of training than just that one specific race. Yeah. So I think that's important too.
I saw something today by one of the creators on Instagram. It kind of caught my eye. It was kind of neat. They're training for Cocodona 250. And they said Cocodona's in, I don't know what, 2-3 weeks or so away. And they said, but the journey's almost over. And I'm like, man, that kind of resonated, because I really enjoy the training blocks as well. And I think that's real fun. Yeah, obviously it's all for, you know, one day, you know, I would say a couple hours, but it's more than a couple hours, but right. It's all for, you know, that one big effort. But like, you know, you put 4 to 5 months of your life into that one effort. And so,
yeah,
you know, it is a journey, and you look back and you remember, you know, all the group runs you ran on, all the solo runs you did, the 4 a.m., mm-hmm. you know, treadmill runs. And so it's just like, it's kind of cool to look back, and that kind of resonated with me. And he was like, yeah, the journey's almost over. And I was like, man, that's kind of neat. 'Cause obviously it is, it's a time of your life that you look back on. And I still remember, you know, like going back to my first 100 miler, like training for it, and like being on the bike path doing, you know, 20 minute tempo runs, and then getting up in the hills and doing hill repeats. And it's like, I remember that stuff. And so it's kind of cool. That resonated with me for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's really important, just about the journey itself.
I remember for me, my last 100, like the whole training journey has way more meaning than going and doing that 100, because you go do it, then it's over, and you're like standing at the finishing line and you're like, that's it. This took all these months. It took all these months to get here, and it's over. But I look back on all those runs I did, you know, in preparation for the 100, and I'm like, God, those have a lot more meaning than, yeah, of course the 100 does. But it's like, as you were saying, you remember those training runs and a lot more than sometimes the race day.
I feel like that's something that's not discussed at all, though. Like, everybody just like, you know, you applaud the marathon or the 100 miler, the 50K, 50 mile, whatever it is you ran. And, you know, you're all about like the race. But it's like, man, no one really ever talks about the journey it took to walk or run or jump or whatever it was across that finish line. And so, yeah, that's something, man. I feel like we should go there, Robbie.
We could. You know me.
You should. Like, I listen to your race recaps, and I don't understand how people can remember everything from the race, because I don't know if I completely just black out, but I can't remember anything at all from my race. But I can tell you, like, specifically which runs I did, how I felt on them, like, months ago. And yeah. I don't know. I guess my brain works a little differently. I block out the pain.
The only way I remember things is Robbie just like, he pokes me, and that's how I remember. Like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. And then after we finish, we're like, dang, we forgot to mention that. But yeah, no, that's great. And it's kind of cool, because I'm more of a race driven type person, where Robbie's more an adventure style person. So it's kind of cool, mm-hmm. that, you know, both of us kind of resonate with that, you know, the training blocks and building up to them. And so, yeah, that's kind of cool. And I'm assuming most people enjoy the journey, or why would you be doing it? So,
right. For the medal.
Yeah, I don't need a medal. I need more buckles. Give me, that's enough. I have some in my background here. That's enough. I don't need any more, but I'll take as many buckles as I can get.
Wait, so what do you do with your buckles?
I wear them.
Like all at once? Can you wear them all at once?
Well, I have 7, so that. No.
Figure out a way.
But no, I wear them. I typically only wear one, because it one all the time, because it just kind of fits the belt right.
Okay.
And the other ones don't really fit the belt right, so I wear my Bighorn buckle the most. And okay. I think that's the race that I'm most proud of as well. And so even though it wasn't my first, it wasn't the last one, it was definitely the hardest one, but it was just like, it was a battle. And so, yeah, it was the biggest battle that I went through during the race. And so, that one has a lot of meaning to me. And so maybe it has sentimental value is the reason I wear it the most, but I think that it fits the belt the best. And so That's why I wear it. But I do switch them up. If I'm going to a race where I've already ran one of their other races, then I'll wear their buckle just to flex on people when I show up to pick up my bib. Because it's like, it's not like the marathoners. You can't just wear your, you know, right. If you ran the Fargo Marathon in 2023, you can't go in 24 with your medal on.
Right.
But if you had the buckle, you could show up with the, you know, got the, you just do the little quick little shirt tuck thing and you just walk around with the buckle on. And it's like, oh man, they ran Fargo last year. Might be a little weird if you show up with the medal from the year previous, but
yeah.
But yeah, I definitely wear them. Robbie wears his too, I think. So,
yeah.
I'd say it's about half and half on people wearing their buckles. Some people just display them. Mine are normally displayed, but I was doing a video on them, so they're all out right now. But anyway,
I love it. I think ultra running is just fascinating, and I don't know, when I get on a new path, I just become obsessed with it. And that's what I feel like this year is kind of for me. Like I mentioned before we started, my husband is training for his first half marathon this summer, because he realized how much easier hunting was last year and how much better he felt, cardiovascular wise, but then also like no joint or muscle pain at all, with the amount of hunting that he does, because he ran last year, which I think is neat. So he's running his first half this summer. So that's kind of my focus, is helping him get ready for that. And then kind of maybe going into ultras this fall.
Nice. I'm so excited for you.
Yeah.
You mentioned the hunting thing. And so you also hunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's a really cool, small group of people that, you know, are pretty dedicated runners, but also hunters. And we're seeing it, I guess, a little bit more with, like, you know, the Cam Haynes and, those, that's the only one I can think of, but the Cam Haynes. And, you know, there's a bunch of people that follow him that are starting to get into the ultra marathons and the marathons and running mountains and, you know, kind of putting their body, training their body as an ultra runner or a runner would do in training for going out to the mountains and hunting, because they're very, very similar. I coach an athlete up here who's a mountain sheep hunter, like legit, like goes in the mountains and is, you know, living off these cliff lines to, you know, hunt sheep. I got him into ultra running last year and he's like, man, this was huge for my sheep hunting. I just like to say that, you know, last year was his first year to kill a sheep and also his first ultra marathon that we got him to. So, you know, I'll take a little bit of credit for it.
Yeah.
but yeah, let's talk to us a little bit about hunting and, like, you know, how did that journey start, and, you know, walk us through that.
Yeah. I grew up in a hunting family, and we really grew up with, that was one of our primary meat sources. And then we had a huge garden. So that's just the lifestyle that I've continued. And I was fortunate enough that my husband is a huge hunter. So that's we don't buy any meat at all. We live off of wild game, fish. And then we have a huge garden that I can see out of my office. And I'm just waiting to get into the garden and start planting and everything. But I absolutely love the lifestyle and how rewarding it is. And I think that goes for hunting as well. I think there's a lot of misconceptions behind hunting, but again, the training, I think with running, with strength training, mobility work, all of those things help me in daily life, but then also in hunting. So I started deer hunting, I don't know, 10 years ago or so. And when we got married, we got a dog, a hunting dog, a small Munsterlander. And we thought that she'd be a duck hunting dog. She's not. My husband's big on duck hunting. But they're a smaller dog, so they don't do well with cold.
What kind of dog is this, you said?
A small Munsterlander.
I've never.
They're not very common. They're not very common, but they're an upland bird hunting dog. So that's what we primarily hunt with her. And then when we got a second dog, I was like, okay, up until this point, I hadn't been, just my husband had been hunting with them. I take them up to the trails to run, kind of get them in shape for hunting season. But up until 2022, when we got our second dog, I hadn't been. But when we got that second dog, I was like, okay, like, I think I just need to take on hunting to provide, because that's really what they're for. They absolutely love hunting, like pheasant, grouse. And it's actually, I absolutely love it because I love being outside. I love moving. So just taking them out hunting has been a fabulous, like, I don't know, source of joy that is similar to running. The training process is similar. I think the journey is similar, but there's just like this next level of also watching your dogs enjoy what they're born to do, what they love to do. So that's kind of just how it started, and I've continued it, and I've done it a lot. Like, that's maybe also a reason why I'm hesitant to run a marathon in the fall is because I'm out hunting, and if I sprain my ankle or whatever, like, there goes the race. Yeah. But I find so much joy in just being outside in the grass, with the dogs, and obviously running and strength training helps that. So it's just extremely joyful.
Now, was your second dog the same?
Yeah. Same breed. As
well? Okay.
Yep.
They look like GSPs.
They do. They're people either ask if they're a German short hair or a Springer Spaniel. Okay. Yeah. And but so they have smaller, a tail.
Yeah. They're smaller than a GSP, but bigger than a Springer.
Smaller than both.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, they are small then.
Yeah. There's the small Monster Lander, which is brown and white. And then there's the large, which is black and white. So the large could be larger than both of the GSP and the Springer, but ours are 35-ish pounds. So they're pretty small.
Nice. Is that, like, how many miles do you typically run them?
Gosh, I have not exhausted them yet. like we can do 10. So I use my Garmin, my watch, just to track how far we're hunting a day. I can go 10 miles and they're fine. And they say that your dog
do 20.
Is, yeah, they're doing 2 to 3 times what you're doing. So they're doing 20 to 30 miles during that day. And they're fine. Like now during tax season, I take them out to the trails, but I also, will just take them on the leash. I don't like to, because they just need that off leash time, but to get them more exercise, I'll take them on the leash, and they can easily do 10 miles on the leash. Not a problem. I just don't want to do that much on the road with like their paws and everything and being on a leash. So yeah, they're completely fine with 20 to 30 back-to-back-to-back days even.
Wow. Aren't they incredible? Animals are just so, dogs are so incredible.
Yeah, they are.
They can do. I'm in the market for a running partner. I haven't quite nailed it down. I think I have an idea of what I want, but yeah, I went and looked at a female who's, we'll find out in a couple of days if she's pregnant, but it's a Vizsla. Okay.
I've heard that they're very good running partners.
That's what I've heard. I heard they can go all day long running, so that's kind of what I'm wanting. But I'm also kind of scared. Like, I run them, yeah.
Would you get like boots and a coat?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, because I think that their coats are real, real thin. And so, mm-hmm. I see a lot of them, out here. They still run. The ones that I see out here still run and participate in activities. They just, mm-hmm. They put a coat on them and booties. So,
yeah, my main problem is, so we have, I don't put a coat on mine. But we have boots for just hunting. When we go out to like Montana, there's a bunch of cacti and then the ground is really dry and like rock. So it tears up their pads. My problem in the winter is their ears. Their ears can get frostbit, and I just haven't figured out a solution.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so that's my only problem is sometimes I notice it almost looks like dead skin at the tip of their ears, and that's just from getting some frostbite from being out for too long.
Yeah.
But otherwise, they're completely fine.
I wonder if putting like a squirrel's nut butter or something on their ears Vaseline. And kind of like Vaseline or something like lubing them up, something that yeah. wouldn't freeze. I wonder if that
yeah,
would
that's
be...
good. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why I went to squirrels instead of like Vaseline or something.
Because we're runners.
Yeah, exactly. First thing that came was like, oh, I wonder if squirrel's nut butter would be perfect some kind for of lube. That. So. I saw recently that you went on a women's hunting retreat.
It wasn't strictly women's. So the breeder that we get our dogs from has a hunting preserve, and that's open through the end of March. So she always hosts a hunting trip for anyone that has a small Munsterlander. So it's pretty neat to see 40 small Munsterlanders all in the same area hunting together. And just like, I don't know, they're all different. They all look different. But then you also understand like, oh, yeah, your dog does that. I thought it was just mine. And it's like yeah. all of them. So it was pretty neat. But we did have one of our hunts. It was all women, which was really neat. And that was probably one of the best hunts that we had that weekend. It was neat to work with or to hunt with all of them.
Yeah, that's really cool. Mm-hmm. Jumping back into your training a little bit, we touched on it a little bit, but you're a big component of strength training, and through you talking the first 30 minutes of this podcast, you know, there's a lot of benefit that you found in your running and in your hunting. Was there something that drove you to that, or was it something you've done all through the whole time?
We have a weightlifting coach through our school that I started in fifth grade. We had just this program where you could do weightlifting 3 days a week and then speed and agility work 2 days a week. And that was just one of the summer programs that was available. And that's when I started it. And I absolutely loved weightlifting. I love the feeling of strength and seeing that progress over time. So that's something that I started then and have never stopped. That was something that I continued through college with the same guy. I was like, can you please write me a plan to continue through college? And he did.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I just absolutely love strength training, and it's something that, I don't know, I've never had to stop doing.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. It definitely helps. When I first got into running, so a little bit of background, I was a bodybuilder, essentially. Like, I was a freaking monster that squat, deadlift, and bench 5 days a week. But I couldn't, you know, I would have to hold my breath to tie my shoes because I couldn't breathe. So, you know, so then when I got into running, I kind of just stopped lifting, and I felt it, you know, my first mm-hmm. years running ultras and marathons. And then, you know, past couple of years, I've been very, heavy strength training, and I've noticed a huge difference in, strength getting up the mountains and the big hills, and, you know, recovery is huge on, you know, other than a few minor things in my feet from this last 100, like, I recovered in a few days. And so
I listened to that race recap.
But yeah, it was pretty easy to recover. So I was really happy, and, you know, attribute that 100% to getting under the bar with some loaded weight. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. I think if you give it a chance, if you actually give it a chance, you'll see those benefits.
For sure. For sure. Well, what kind of gear are you using?
Brooks. I wear a lot of Brooks.
What's your favorite shoe?
The Glycerin.
I like the Glycerins too.
I absolutely love them. When I first started running, I was wearing a pair of Nike Freeze, which were like my everyday like walk to college classes shoes. Mm-hmm. And I liked the lightness of them. That's why I just started running in them. But then I got fitted, and one of the shoes I got fitted for was the Glycerin and then the Launch. So okay. those have been two of my go-to shoes for a long time. And then when I went
to something separate trail, or do you run in Glycerins on trails, or?
So that's the other thing that I kind of have tried to figure out. I have the Ultra Superior. That was my first trail shoe. Okay. And I don't want to admit
like cushion to nothing.
I don't want to admit how many miles I have on them. They have holes in them, but they're just so
they have about 30 miles then, because they're Ultras are known to fall apart pretty quickly.
Gosh, but I got those in 2018.
Okay, so they're still that was still the old school then.
Yeah.
That was prior to them selling. I think, Robbie, right? Like,
I'm not sure when they.
I thought it was not 18, 19 they sold. So
no, they were made well back then.
Yeah, trust me, they are definitely not now. I'm gonna get hate for that, but whatever. Come at me, bro.
Yeah. So through burnout with the ankle pain that I had, I needed a cushion shoe. So I started wearing the Aurora, which was perfect for me. But now that I'm kind of out of that phase, I've been trying to figure out what I want to wear on the trails. I've tried a couple pair and I just don't feel like I had that. I don't know. They felt a little too stiff for me. Mm-hmm. So the past couple months I've been wearing the Glycerin on the trail, but I also haven't really been on trails other than grass. Yeah, I haven't really figured out what I want to wear yet.
I was about to say, you're the one we make fun of when you show up in road shoes. There's two people that are road runners or that are trail runners that wear road shoes. There's the ones that don't have trail shoes, that don't really care. They just go out there, right? They don't know. Maybe it's their first trail run. And then there's the ones that are absolute badasses. They show up to a road run or trail run and you're like, well, they're in road shoes, blah, blah, blah. And they take off and you never see them again. there's not an in between there. You're either one or the other.
I hope I'm the second one.
Oh, well, I mean, time will tell, I guess.
No, but I've been thinking about that for August. I just need to figure something out. But I do wear the Cascadia when I take the dogs out on the trails. That's my go-to. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. I like the Cascadia. It's a good shoe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
I've done a few miles in mine. just a few. what else? I'm assuming Brooks all the way up.
Mm-hmm. I take that back. I actually don't wear the Brooks leggings. I wear the shorts, but the leggings do not fit my butt because I lift I've built my glutes, so they just don't fit. So I wear Lululemon for those because they actually don't fall down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what all my leggings are.
Yeah. See, same thing. I have the thunder thighs that clap in the liners. So I got to cut all the liners out. So I get it.
Yep. I try them all on, but they just don't pass the running test. If I have to pull them up a couple times, they're not for running.
What's that creator on TikTok and Instagram that does the shorts, if the shorts ride up, they're not good. I forget what her name is, but.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I feel like if I wear shorts with liners in them, that's what happens. They just like my thighs just eat the shorts. And then I just have this big V of short. I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah. And that's uncomfortable and it's hot and sweaty. Like, yeah, you don't need
that's not something. Yeah. And then that's, you know, another plug for Squirrel's Nut Butter here. what about your pack? What do you wear? Do you have a pack? Do you wear a pack?
Yes. Yep. I've been wearing it for all my long runs. I have a Nathan's hydration pack with the bladder. I've been thinking about getting some of the flasks. I just haven't yet. But I
think there's a place for both, honestly. Mm-hmm. I like the bladder sometimes. Hey, if you got to carry bear spray and you want water, I like a bladder when I need to carry bear spray.
Yeah, and I guess I want to get more into, I have the tailwind, like, recovery, and I've been doing a lot of research on nutrition and what I want to do. And I would just rather put a flavored fluid in the flask versus the bladder. So I also sweat a ton. I did a sweat test actually just last weekend, and I need to take in a lot of water. So
what kind of sweat test did you use?
Well, I actually went to a performance lab called Human Powered Health. Yeah, down in the cities. So they did the full on, I had a sweat patch, and then they tested for sodium and then fluid loss. Okay, so cool. I lost 3 pounds during 45 minutes. So it was pretty intense. Wow.
So we had somebody that was on the podcast, and he's now a doctor because he graduated. Yeah. So now he's a doctor. Is he sports nutrition? Is that what it is? I forget, but
no,
sports something.
Yeah.
Dave, I'm sorry if you're listening to this. Dave, I 100% apologize. He's been on the podcast twice, so we should know, right? But he said that the little Gatorade patches, like, they work really well for, like, an at-home type test. I've just never tried one, but
yeah, I've heard.
But he works in a lab where they do like anal probing. I was giving shit on that, but they do anal probing to find, like, make sure they're, you know, the body's at that temperature and so, you know, doing heat tests and stuff like that. And so. Just fascinating.
Yeah, I was.
I'm not going for a run with an anal probe. That's the weirdest thing. They could do the little scan of my forehead or something.
Hey, we've had that conversation about winter running, because to a certain point, like, what is safe and what is not, and if you have a little bit of skin exposed, like, how cold is that skin? And we've had. I was visiting my grandpa at the vet's home a couple winters ago, and this was during COVID, so they had to take your temperature, and they just had, like, the forehead scanner one, and this was after I did a long run in the winter. So she said my temperature was 89 degrees.
Oh, perfect.
Which I was like, don't do it my forehead.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, what about, like, your hand? And I was like, that's probably not good either. I just got done running. But we had that conversation of, like, how would you actually, like, figure out my actual temperature? And the anal probe was what our result was.
Yeah. Much as I hate to admit it, I guess that's science.
Yeah, no other way around it.
Can you imagine going in and visiting somebody and they're like, yeah, sorry, we have to probe you before you can come in, and be like, I guess I'm just not seeing them.
Yeah. That'd be awkward.
Yeah, it would be. What do you think is too cold to run in, and have you met that mark yet?
I think if you're prepared, I don't think anything is too cold. I think if someone was visiting from Florida, I don't think that they could ever be prepared. Even if they properly warmed up and they had enough layers on, their body, I just don't think, would be acclimated to the cold. But I think our bodies adjust as it gets colder. We know that we need to warm up. We know that what we need to wear. So I don't think anything is too cold.
Hey, you said something I didn't quite understand. I think you said warm up. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, the thing where you, like, do some drills and.
I didn't understand that. No, I totally get you. Other than the warm up part, I don't understand that. But way off topic here, but I think it's hilarious. Like, if you go to a road race, you'll see people, like, doing the leg kick thing and warming up. If you go to an ultra, everybody's just standing around.
You're running, like, at least 10 times the distance, right?
Yeah.
It's a very slower pace.
Yeah, extremely slow pace. But what is your coldest run? What's your coldest run you've ever done?
48 below.
Nice. You got me beat. I'm on 38 below.
I was really bummed.
Was that wind chill or actual temperature?
Actual temp.
Okay. Because they sometimes they throw out this like fake number of wind chill. Like, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I think that also the biggest difference there was that day wasn't windy. I've had other days that like the wind chill is colder, but it's because it's super windy. Yeah. But if it's not windy, like that makes all the difference.
I saw negative 50 this year, but I didn't run in it. So, but I was fresh off of 100K, so I wasn't going to go out just I did a negative 50 run, but
looking back, probably would have pulled a muscle or something.
Totally should have done it. That would have been cool. I mean, negative 38, that's still pretty proud. Yeah. Yeah, I thought I was good, but then, you know, Jackie comes over here like, 48 below.
You might have to come down to Minnesota.
I know, right? I have to go down to Minnesota to get colder than Fairbanks, Alaska. But God, I hope it's not negative 50 again this year. But, you know, one thing that, like, now that I'm tired of is, like, yeah, we get cold, but, man, we get snow, and it just stays around forever. And so we're kind of in that weird phase right now where we call it the breakup season. And so all the snow is like melting and it's mushy and dirty and muddy. And so we probably got about 2 months of, well, maybe not 2 months, but about a month of no trail running. So it's like, ugh, yeah. I got to like pull out my road shoes and see what those guys look like and go run through some puddles. But hey, one thing that I and Robbie is very big on is nutrition. You know, we definitely take it serious on our runs, and that's one thing that has helped both of us definitely go that extra mile. What's your nutrition look like?
I would
maybe
say
not necessarily your day to day, but like, what do you use race nutrition? I mean, or you can go day to day. You have these cool little like smoothies that you share every day. I'm like, man, what is in that guy?
I'm big on food. I'm big on nutrition too. During races, during long runs, workouts, I use a lot of Morton. I just don't like flavor, especially later on in a race. I don't want anything flavored. So that's been my go-to. But I have recently gotten into Awesome Sauce, I really enjoy. I used to use applesauce on runs. So being able to have that higher carb of Awesome Sauce and actually have it taste like applesauce, I've been very happy with it.
I will say that when you're 30 plus hours, they do gag a little bit going down. So just be prepared. For earlier, they taste great. But I have never had a problem taking them other than like, I mean, anything you're going to eat, you're going to gag a little bit at. So, but that's you get that little type thing. But what's in these shakes, these magical shakes that I see all the time? What's in these?
Spinach, frozen banana, ice water, and then just like a chocolate protein powder.
Man, so simple. Looks so good.
Yeah. And sometimes I add like a little bit of coffee. I don't know. I think it just like kind of gives the chocolate an extra, I don't know, something.
A little bit of boost. Do you put beans, like just the beans in there? Or do you put actual, just like coffee, like ground up coffee?
Just coffee.
I mean, but you're going to blend it. So I feel like you could put beans in there, right?
Yeah. Extra caffeine.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, that actually is a good idea. We're onto something here. You mentioned it earlier and we kind of skipped over it because I wanted to save it for the end, but you coach.
Mm-hmm.
What got you into coaching? Is that what you do full time now? Tell us about your coaching business.
Yep, it's full time. I got into it, I don't know, 2018 or so, more so on the strength and the mobility and the nutrition in terms of like everyday life, and just improving those things and seeing how they improve your running. So that's how my coaching started. And then a couple of years later, I had my current clients asking for running plans, which I didn't do. So they're asking, okay, like, where should I go to get a running coach? Because I've seen improvement with my nutrition and my strength training in my running, but now I want to take it to the next level. So I decided, I was like, well, why am I not also doing the running aspect of it? So that's how I got into run coaching. Took it full time in 2019. So it's been, I don't know, it seems like yesterday, but it also seems a lot longer ago, just with COVID and everything.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been fun. Awesome. It's been, I don't know, every client is different, which I think is a good thing. It keeps it interesting. It keeps me thinking, keeps me doing research. I think you have to be a constant student of the sport, even as just an athlete. And I think that's part of the fun.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's great. Well, last question. We'd like to grow our podcast by asking our guest who our next guest should be. So somebody from your network, hunting, fishing, hiking, biking, running, you name it. Who you got for us?
So I have a couple ideas. Amy is actually one of my athletes right now, and she's gotten me into the ultra running this year with some races that she has coming up. But I think she's just a really interesting person. So she would be one. And then I have two friends in town, Terry Aldean and Paul Scholl, who are ultra runners, but they also are very into the outdoors. Terry has his own kind of YouTube channel with his log cabin and just the different projects that he's working on, and kind of more of that substance living, which I think is neat. And then Paul Scholl is an amazing ultra runner who, I don't know, like, he just is very humble, but he's also very willing to help teach people about the sport, but also apply it to everyday life. So I think those three people are just fascinating. I could listen to them for days. I can talk about running for days, but I think they just bring interesting elements with the things that they do outdoors and how it helps them with training and vice versa.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that's great. Thanks. Appreciate that. We'll definitely reach out. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll give you a second to shout out your business, shout out where people can find you on Instagram, any other platforms. Yeah. Spill the beans.
So my Instagram handle is jackie.wilson.runs. Jackie is J-A-C-I. And my website is the same, Jackie Wilson Runs. So I keep it just pretty simple. And yeah, I'm pretty big on Instagram, not so much TikTok or Facebook or anything. I just prefer Instagram. I'm actually not a Strava person at all.
Oh no.
Just to get away from like the comparison of everything. And I don't know. I feel like Garmin has everything that I need, and then Instagram fills those gaps. So
yeah.
Instagram is my go-to.
Cool. Well, if you're looking for a strength and running coach that will also help with nutrition, which is something we all need help with, definitely reach out to Jackie. Super cool person. I'm glad to have met you virtually and in person. And so thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I can't wait to see this ultra that you're going to run.
Yeah.
Follow along on your journey. Awesome. Well, thanks again. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.